Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY23 earnings conference call of The Federal Bank Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Souvik Roy, Head Investor Relations, The Federal Bank Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you so much, and good evening. Welcome to our earnings call for the third quarter. We are thrilled to report what I'd call one of our best quarterly results ever. The quarter has been nothing short of outstanding with record-breaking revenue and profit. We saw better NIM, better asset quality, and a multi-year high of ROA and ROE. If you remember, this is exactly what I said when I opened the call last quarter and would like to keep saying the same for every quarter year onward. Now, our diversified business model and focus on risk management has allowed us to drive growth while maintaining a pristine balance sheet. Our digital transformation initiatives have also played a key role in our success as they have enabled us to reach new customers, improve our efficiency, and increase the adoption of our digital products. On call today, like always, we have our MD, Mr. Shyam Srinivasan, our EDs, Mr. Ashutosh Khajuria and Ms. Shalini Warrior, along with our Group President, Mr. Harsh Dugar, and our CFO and Group President, Mr. Venkatraman Venkateshwar, along with the other senior officials as well. But before I turn the call over to our MD and CEO, let me inform the House that this is our MD's 50th earnings call. So with that, over to you, sir.
Thanks, Souvik. Thank you, everybody. And firstly, this is the first call of calendar 23. So my good wishes and happy 2023 to everybody. Souvik pointed out we had a good quarter. Yes, we were pleased with the outcomes of Q3 on every count. I don't want to call out any one particular line, but the overall efforts of the bank across quarters, across years has helped shape the bank to this kind of outcome, and we believe this is something that we should seek to sustain or improve in quarters ahead, which has been the endeavor at all points in time. Happily, this financial year on each passing quarter looks more compelling and improving as the year rolls by. NII at an all-time high, operating profit at an all-time high, net profit at an all-time high, all suggest that we are on course. I want to go back and talk about what we said. Some of you may have been part of a presentation we made in just before COVID in February 20, when we gave out a three-year roadmap and what we thought we'd exit FY23 with. And I'm pleased that we are ahead of those numbers despite two horrendous years in the middle. And that gives us the confidence that we have a business model that is reflective of the opportunity. More importantly, the language of the bank is consistent with the presentation we put out, and even more importantly, the team capability to constantly readjust to developments and yet deliver or not lose sight of the larger objective is intact and growing. So I would say that the quarter that went by reflected many of those objectives, and we are actively carving out what our plans for the period ahead would be. Minimally, this would be the new baseline on which we would keep operating. Yes, there have been some tailwinds in terms of margin expansion because of the timing mismatch between asset repricing and deposit repricing. Some part of it will have challenges, but we are acutely aware of that, and we all constructing our business plans to reflect that changes that may happen, yet deliver on the ROA, ROE expansion plans that we have. I had mentioned that we would exit FY23 at about 1.25% ROA. I'm pleased that we've beaten that, and the full year number will probably be 1.25 or better, and certainly that sets the tone for what we would like the year and years ahead to be. And the promised 10 basis point plus or minus improvement every year is what we will seek out to do. And that's the design of everything we do. Business mix, the mix between retail and wholesale, and within retail, secured, unsecured, all the new businesses we spoke of, whether it's credit cards, microfinance, personal loans, business banking, gold, commercial vehicles, all the elements of those businesses are in place. Each business leader is looking to scale up. On smaller basis, they are reflecting 70-80% growth. We believe that can, you know, that can scale into even a three-digit number as we go into calendar, you know, so we step up into 23 and 24. So momentum is quite strong. We are aware of the headwinds and the narrative around India may not see this kind of credit growth on a sustained basis. I believe our machinery is in place to support growth, and we will, of course, pull back where we see some pain. But most importantly, share gain will continue, and the momentum that we have in some of our businesses are structural, and we think the year ahead should reflect all these efforts. So without going into any specific numbers, but I am sure in the course of the call, all of you will want to know more about you know, each of those numbers or pass those numbers better. So I will, in between me and the entire senior team, will respond to that. The headline numbers are there for all of you to see. Your net profit at 804 is certainly very encouraging, and so are the other metrics. So let me pause here. We will have questions, and we'll have the entire team, senior team who are on the line, try and answer. And in case there's any data that you need and we can share, we will share offline. Thank you very much, and operator, you may open it up for questions with everybody.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. First question is from the line of Mahrukh Adajania from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. Congratulations to you and your team. So my first question is on margins. So there has been a fair bit of repricing of corporate loans as well, right? So, I mean, do you think most of the corporate repricing is done assuming there's no EBLR hike pending? And what is the outlook for margins? So I heard you on TV saying that 335 is what you still maintain for the full year, which could mean that for the fourth quarter also margins will be 335, 336, which actually means a 13-14 basis points QOQ time. So what's your outlook on margins? That's my first question, and then I have two more questions.
Yeah, I think, Mahrukh, the margin expansion that we saw this quarter had the, in effect of the timing. A full year blended 335, 340 is indicative of the fact that Q4 may not see this higher margin. Certainly it will be higher than that number. So I think the repricing that is happening, the corporates have happened, but the deposit repricing will start showing this year. This quarter you saw yields expand on the credit side almost 49 basis points, and deposit costs go up about 21 basis points. Some part of the residual increase will happen in Q4 and maybe in early part of Q1. To that extent, the 349 may be a little diminished.
Got it. An outlook for margins in the next year, I mean longer term?
Between 335 and 340, we are upgrading our guidance from 325 to more like mid-335 and, you know, plus minus.
Okay, so longer term as well. Okay, got it, got it. And so just in terms of loan growth, outlook for 2024 for your bank, and if at all you have any for the sector?
Hard to call. There are, you know, a lot of moving parts. We've always maintained we will grow in the, you know, much higher than the industry, which we have been. Our outlook at this point in time certainly is in the high teens. We'll have to recalibrate it if things materially slow down, which I don't see signs of. I think bank demand, bank credit growth opportunities continue, share gain in most areas. So I think in the high teens is what we're guiding for at this point in time.
For yourself, right?
Yes, for the bank.
Got it. And sir, just on employee expenses, because you have somewhat higher proportion of unionized employees, do you follow the wage agreement? And if so, what is the kind of hike in employee expenses or provisions that you are likely to make till the wage agreement for the PSU sector is finalized?
We've made, I think we mentioned it, we've increased our wage provisions in Q3 itself. For November and December, we have assumed a particular rate increase and we have applied that. So that's reflecting, that will be in the new run rates too.
Okay, so is it possible to quantify? Sorry, if you have, I missed it.
We've taken, Marup, what the average has been for many negotiations in the past and taken the higher end of that.
Got it. So it's already reflected in the base for two months, and that is what it will continue.
In Q3, November and December, we've already taken the higher cost.
Got it. And sir, I just wanted to squeeze in one last question, that your deposit growth was higher than your loan growth this quarter, and last quarter, you did a fair bit of borrowings as well. So why are liabilities expanding faster and the deposit growth that came last quarter, was it refinance or?
No, it's a customer. We didn't have any refinance in Q3.
In Q2 borrowings? No, na?
Q2 we had some refinance and borrowings. Q3 no. Q3 is customer deposits.
Got it. And why are deposits growing faster than loans? Is there anything to read into or it's just an outcome?
So we like our CD ratio in the 84-85 space.
Got it. Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mona Khetan from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Good evening and congratulations on a good set of numbers. So firstly, on the margin expansion, we've had 20 bits this quarter. So just wanted to understand how much of this would be driven by the, asset repricing and how much could also be driven by higher share of, better yielding assets.
The better yielding assets, Mona, is as a part of the overall portfolio. If you assume commercial vehicle, credit cards, gold, business banking, commercial vehicles, gold, microfinance, as the better yielding, that's still a small part of the entire franchise, right? The credit book of the bank is about 170,000 crores. The cumulative of these businesses is 5,000-6,000 crores. So even if they are growing at a rapid pace, which they are, they're not going to materially alter the core NIMs. But to that extent, it's more dominated by the margin asset rate. Businesses are kicking in quite well.
Uh-huh. And what would be the incremental yield on corporate loans?
What would be the incremental?
The yields on corporate loans on an incremental basis. And, just wanted to understand if the pricing has become more rational because this quarter even a higher share of growth came from corporate book in your case.
I think corporate, we see it as not just pricing. We certainly are getting better pricing than we did in the past period. Our corporate team has done a remarkable job of passing through rate increase. We, I think, saw 225 basis point rate increase, and the pass-through is close to 200 basis points, both in corporate and retail. But when we look to do good credits, as in good, good corporate, top end of the credit spectrum, we are happy to make sure that the pricing is right, but we're getting more business from them. You saw a material increase in fee income on corporate and processing fee income. That's indicative of a full relationship pricing we're getting.
And would we be able to get the incremental yields on that wholesale part of the book?
I think it's improved about 50 basis points. Harsh, are you there on the line? Maybe you want to add the incremental pricing. Harsh?
So, am I audible? Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, we have an incremental pricing across the board and we have about 180 and 185 basis points which has seen a full pass-through. And the last repo hike, the full impact of it will be felt in Q4.
Okay. And just finally, so you have a gold portfolio of about 20,000 crore. Out of this, what share would be co-lending, which is sourced from other NBFCs or, you know, fintechs? And is this largely part of the non-agri book?
Fintech-led origination is probably about 10 to 12% of this total.
That's right. That's right, Shyam. About 11%, roughly. 10-11%.
Okay. Of the entire gold portfolio of 20,000 crore?
Yes.
This would be fintechs and NBFCs, right?
No, fintech is only one. No, we don't have any NBFC co-lending.
Okay, got it. And would it be fair to assume that this is largely the non-agri part of the book of 5,000 crore?
Yes, this is non-agri.
Got it. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pritesh Bum from DAM Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, evening, sir. Just had two questions. One is on the gold loan front. We've seen a dip in Q1Q in the retail gold front. Even the tonnage has dropped. Any change there? Any change in stance, strategy? Why would it have dropped by about 10% quarter-on-quarter?
I think in this quarter, there were some readjustments with the fintech partner for originating based on the new digital lending and some changes that need to be put in place. That's happening, so it will come back in Q4.
Okay, nothing to read into it, basically.
I mean, not that we are alive to cheese.
So, no, why I'm asking is because the gold prices are all-time high and generally we tend to see a little bit higher growth in gold loans.
That's what I'm saying. There's nothing to read into it. We remain as enthusiastic about this business and still think 25% Y-on-Y growth is possible.
Sure. And second question was on the credit card business. Now, we've been in, organically sourcing this for some quarters now. But the growth seems, of course, the growth number seems very good, but the number of card additions and the business seems to be a little bit dull as yet. So despite the opportunity and the partnerships which you have with for the CASA side as well, so we don't see any big, large growth which is happening on the card side. What is your view on that? How do we see that business now?
So we remain excited by this business. Between organic and our partnership-led, we have probably crossed 1,000 crores of outstanding. And this will continue to grow. Yes, the base is very small. We think we can scale this up. But I wouldn't venture to say that this 1,000 will become 10,000 in a hurry. Right? It has to go through its paces. So yes, it's growing nicely. We are putting in a lot of energy behind it, further restructuring, creating new capabilities. And this business between organic and fintech partnerships should scale up to about a meaningful number in the next two financial years. Versus the base, but like I keep pointing out, on our grand total, it'll still be only, you know, a percentage of the whole total business, right? We are not growing this exclusively, nor are we making any giant acquisitions in this. So it's more an organic strengthening of this business, which will grow well, a big opportunity, 1,000 crores and growing quite well. Fee income is doing well. You must have seen that this business has, have added to, if you look at our other income, these have added materially on the income line. And thankfully, no credit issues.
Got it. And last question was on credit substitutes, though the number is small, but we've seen a strong growth. Is the pricing there better? Because commentary generally was still that the pricing on the bond market side has not yet improved on an overall basis. So anything you finding there as an attractive opportunity?
Usually these are used as a way to consummate a relationship. Sometimes the it could be pricing, sometimes it'd be the client convenience. Between credit lending and credit substitute, we find the most optimum mix. So it's not the number one choice, but it may end up being an opportunity to complete a relationship. So I won't read much into it other than it tends to be choppy.
May I ask, right, sir?
Yeah, go ahead, Ash, please.
Yeah, the credit substitutes includes three basic components. One is commercial paper, NCDs, and it also includes PTC transactions, which are in the nature of credit substitutes, investments. and hence classified over there. We do it wherever we feel the pricing is rich, number one. Number two, quite a few of our PTC transactions also qualify as priority sector lending as well. So this is one of the primary reasons. The base is small, but there has been a shift towards credit substitutes, partly because the regulator has also been asking the larger corporates to borrow from the debt capital markets. So we intend being in both sides of the market, on the borrowing side through the loans as well as the credit substitutes.
Sure. Thank you so much. Got it. Thanks. Thanks for answering the questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Renish from ICICI. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Congrats on a great set of numbers. So just two questions. One on the new businesses, you know, specifically on the PL side. So if you can throw some light, you know, in terms of the monthly disbursement run rate, you know, what kind of a yields we are getting would be helpful, sir.
Charlie, you want to go?
Hi, Anish. On the personal loan side, for a very long time, as you know, we've been only focusing on existing to bank customers and doing a fairly digitally oriented, proposition for them. Over the last couple of months, we've now expanded that. We've started a digital process for new-to-bank customers. We're still in a closed user group, and we'll shortly expand that to a larger market in terms of the new-to-bank customers. And we've also started a couple of propositions with fintech partners. You see that in the deck. There is a proposition with Paisa Bazaar, and there's another proposition with Epify that's going live from a personal loan standpoint. So the plan is between CC and PL, the whole unsecured higher margin products that we have, we will be scaling it up in the coming days. As Shyam mentioned earlier when he was responding to the question on credit card, and to a large extent that also mirrors the answer for personal loans. It's not like, on a low base, yes, we will improve and we will increase our share, but it's not something that's going to make a material shift over the next couple of years. Having said that, cross-sell to existing customers, cross-sell through fintech partners, expanding to new-to-bank customers through a digital platform will remain the cornerstones of the plan and strategy, Renish.
Yeah, so Shalini, just to ask on this specific partnership on the Paisa Bazaar and FI, so have you already started disbursing? I mean, of course,
yes.
In like you mentioned that we already disbursed 1,000 loans.
Yes.
So these loans are specifically to FI and Paisa Bazaar both put together, right?
Yeah, so they're both combined together for various reasons. Obviously, we don't show the split, but they are propositions to the... So in the case of Paisa Bazaar, as you know, they have a credit scoring methodology through which they get customers
right.
to come in and look at credit scores. So we're cross-selling to those customers on it. To Epify, the cross-sell is to the customers who've been onboarded as Epify Savings Bank customers over the last 12 to 18 months, and therefore we're cross-selling to them, part of the deepening strategy for them. So different propositions. The Paisa Bazaar relationship gets us more new-to-bank customers, Renish. The Epify relationship gets us more deepening of the cross-sell and deepening of the relationship through cross-sell with Epify customers.
Got it. And would you mind to share the average ticket size?
Sorry, I didn't get that.
Average ticket size per loan disbursement?
The average ticket size, assuming you can work it backwards then if I give you that, but the average ticket size is about 1,50,000.
Okay. Thank you, Shalini. Shyam, so my next question is to you in terms of clarification. So when we say the 10 basis point improvement in ROA, so what's the base we are assuming? So Q3 ROA of 1.3 is the base or 1.25?
Standard ROA for this year will be about 1.25. Full year blend.
Got it. And from there onwards, 10 basis point every year is what we are saying.
Interest rate each year will be 10 basis. I mean, I won't say every year. Right now, outlook is for FY24. I'm not committing beyond that.
Okay. That's it for my check. Thank you, Shyam. And congrats.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhuchanda Day from MC Pro. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations on this.
Madhu, a little louder, please.
Hi. Can you hear me now? Yeah. Hello?
Yeah.
So congratulations.
Handset mode, the audio, you sound distant. Yeah.
Yeah. Am I clear now?
Better, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, congratulations on a great quarter. I have two questions. One is you mentioned quite a few times about winning market share. So if you could just throw some more color on who all are losing market share to you, or which are the pockets where you are winning market share?
I don't know who is losing. I know we are gaining. One of the recent reports that have come out has taken a 5-year CAGR of private sector bank credit growth and places us in the top three in that, consistently growing share. And it's evident in our numbers, right? We probably are the only bank that has doubled our credit book in the last 5 years. So evidently credit is growing. Who we are losing to, I can't quite comment, but I can suggest that in our expansion and distribution, all our product lines growing at 18-19%. Credit indicates that if the system growth is 17 and some are reporting 12-13, evidently those banks that are 12-13 are losing and we are gaining at 19-odd%. And it's broad-based and we believe that will sustain. So I can't say who is losing, but I can say that we are gaining and we should keep that increase that distance.
Yeah, thanks. My second question is on this 10 bps expansion in ROA, which is a near-term outlook for FY24. If you could give us some color on the ROA expansion tree in terms of what you expect to come from PPOP, low credit cost, OPEC, I mean, all these other components, I mean, a rough color on the same.
It's a mix. I've always maintained it's never one silver bullet. It's steady, regular, all round. The mix of the business, continued improvement in credit standards, and our efficiencies going in, our digital capabilities are getting better, and there will always be some opportunities on the treasury and investment side. A combination of it all working in favor of the bank. You know, we don't want to take our eyes off any one line. A little, you know, 2, 3, 4 basis points in each area, Madhu.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank
no,
you.
No silver bullets.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kaushik Podar from KB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks. Shyam, as usual, you have been able to tick all the boxes. So
thanks.
The next question is a little... complicated, if you may put it, in the sense that, see, yeah, right now you're quoting at a price to book of between 1.2-1.3 FY24-25, right? So, and the topmost bank, which is HDFC Bank, is probably quoting at 2.1-2.2. What do you have in mind so that the price to book value goes up to that level? Is it possible? And are you thinking anything in that line? Because ultimately the shareholders are looking at something like that, the price to book value going up. It has already gone up in the last 2-3 years. It has already gone up. So are you thinking in something in this term, these terms? And secondly, you have reached a capital adequacy ratio is around 13% or something. So you need to raise capital, I guess, next year. So can we expect some marquee name as to whom you may place your shares? Over to you.
Thanks. I'll give you the second part of your question first. I think at this point in time, the CRAR without plowing back FY23 profits is in the 13 point something. When we put that back in by end of April, we should be back to 14 odd. Our own internal trigger point is somewhere in the 13. So we will consider, but we don't have any firm timeline. Certainly in calendar 23, there may be an opportunity and a requirement if we continue to see good growth prospects, which we think we are seeing good growth prospects. So we will raise. Whether we get a marquee name or a bunch of good names or a combination, we'll have to see. We haven't initiated anything on that count. Certainly we will be looking out. If there are marquee names interested, we'll be happy to have a conversation. But right now there's nothing on that count. On the earlier part of your question, what are we doing to get the shareholder return? I mean, I can only promise, as I have promised every quarter and hopefully delivered on most of them, to make the best for the bank to ensure that our performance levels are continuously improving. We don't take our eyes off that. Unfortunately, stock price is not entirely in our control. I know it's a bad statement for an MD to say, but I would be candid. We can only do that much. We can only perform and communicate. Results are, many moving parts. That said, it's evident that our performance is getting rewarded, in the more recent years. We think it's only a matter of time before we get discovered fully. So I would say we are not taking our eyes off the performance, and the commitments we gave and the commitments we give are being honored. We'll keep dialing that up. Like I said, the language of the bank at all levels, the mission and the passion is unhindered, and I believe that our best is sort of yet to come.
Okay.
Beyond that, I can't comment, Kaushik. I'd be happy if you guys as investors influence the outcome and make sure that this stock gets the deserved, we get the deserved pricing.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Kaushik.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Kumar from Systematics Shares. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So the first question is basically pertaining to the NR deposit number, which is looking a little soft, and there is a market share volatility as well with respect to previous quarter number. So any comment you would like to offer on this issue?
I don't think anything unique. I mentioned in the last quarter also our deposits, remittance share is constantly moving up. Remittance coming into India, we are getting a larger share. But it translating into deposits, there has been a market change. People have either used for various other elements of completing their credit payments or investing in something or moving into the markets. To that extent, there has been a deposit behavior change of conversion from remittances to deposits. That's something that we have to keep on a tight watch. So as a bank, we've been able to gain share in resident savings. So we'll keep an eye on this thing. I don't know if we can read much into it other than the fact that the remittances share has increased. What you're seeing in the deck is a point in time. Typically at the end of Q2, it's lower and it comes back in Q3. So we will see how that numbers move. But I won't read much into it, Chief.
Understood, sir. Secondly, sir, this SAR deposit, composition industry-wide, we see that, there is a compression because there are various reasons apart from the cannibalization issue, of the TD rates. And there are other issues also. Household savings numbers have kind of, come down, especially towards deposit. So, and we also have seen, some impact there. So, any thought that we have put, in terms of guidance, if you can help us that maybe 1 year down the line where we would be in terms of SAR deposit composition?
I think it's you may have seen it and observed it across the industry, right? When the interest rates are higher, the difference between your savings rate and term rates being very, very material, there's a migration towards a term. Second, when there is a chase and a war for deposits, people are attracting it to a higher price term and trying to get customers in. But as business velocity increases and momentum of money supply increases, you will start seeing SAR getting generated. Usually credit generates more deposits. So I do believe in, hopefully nothing going wrong in India. In a 3-4 quarters from now, situation should change. I'm not in the camp that believes that CASA for anybody will keep endlessly increasing unless you are materially increasing your savings rate, which therefore is equal to term rate. So I think it's better to lock in money longer than to keep savings which can be in and out. So it's a point in time, but we have to watch out. I don't think it's the end of the road for CASA. SA will be impacted as it has been impacted for the entire industry. And I think that will cure itself as the economy starts lubricating better.
Got it. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Namaskar, sir, and thank you for this opportunity. Firstly, sir, how is this cost to income going to shape up going ahead now with the rising interest rate scenario? What should we factor in terms of how this line item will be going ahead?
We had mentioned that we will try and improve that by 100 basis points each year. Happily, we have delivered this year. We're at about 48 and change. Our target is to push it closer to 48 or 47.5 in the next financial year, and that's what we'll be focusing on. And there's a bunch of things, both, as you know, the cost income is both cost and income. It's not one or the other. Efficiency and better mix of business and income growth. On both counts, work is going on. We've demonstrated it at this point in time, and we believe that it will continue.
And we have factored in this higher cost of deposit going ahead. That is the figure.
When we moderating our NIM guidance, to some extent, it factors in the potential higher cost of deposits in periods ahead.
Didn't get you, sir. Come again.
In the NIM guidance, which we have had some moderation from the high of 349, it factors in the increased cost of deposits in the period ahead.
Okay. Sir, as you mentioned that there is a strong demand for credit and majority of the banks are continuously focusing on the retail segment. So if you could give us some more granular details, where is this demand arising from and what are the factors that have led to it and the strength of this going ahead, the demand in credit that we are witnessing for the last few quarters?
So as a bank, those of you who have been following us for long, we've always said we will be reasonably equally weighted retail, wholesale, within wholesale, the different businesses, within retail, the various businesses. We are not suggesting that one business alone will carry us. That is not our mantra. And it serves the bank well, both through bad periods and good. And no different for the future ahead. I think there are opportunities for all our businesses, particularly our share being low, there's opportunity for us in all our businesses. Some more than the other is where we would say. To that extent, Mr. Kapoor, I think the opportunity for us is not in any one business, and I think all our businesses have an opportunity to scale up, and we are pushing that hard. Did I miss some part of your question? Is that what you said, or is there something else?
No, sir. I am trying to look at the factors which have led to the bankers like you putting up or having comfort in the statement that there is a strong credit demand. So just wanted to understand the feel-good factors that the banking system has today that is leading to this huge demand, credit demand, and the sustainability of the same going ahead. What are the factors that are contributing to it?
I got it. I think the big one that shifted the needle in the last, let's say 3-4 quarters has been the fact that A, there was pent up, B, the other cost of money was higher, and therefore people shifted to the more formal banking system. So these were drivers of banks' credit. Banks had more appetite. Everybody had capitalized well. Credit quality had improved. So banks were willing to lend, and there was an opportunity. Now, as that moderates, as we go into FY24 and beyond, those banks that continue to be well-positioned will have a larger chance of getting the share. Those who have increased their distribution in all the businesses will get a larger share. Those who have increased their product offerings and are hungrier for credit growth will pick up share. We think the formalization of India is giving rise to more credit opportunities. I know these are not headline statements. There are a lot, GST collections are going up. That many more people are filing GST. That many more data is available. That much more digital footprint is available. That much more pre-approved capabilities are coming into banks. The use of bureau, the use of credit scorecards, the use of third-party digital data are all enabling.
Right, sir. And if I look at the line items, sir, just two small points. When we look at the line item in the treasury part, on a Q-on-Q basis, there is a decline. So what explains this decline in both the revenue part booking as well as on the bottom line, under the segment results?
Ashutosh, do you want to give?
Yeah, I think what you are seeing is there is a one-time impact of RBI circular which came in December. This is more about a clarification on securitization receipts. So prior to 2018 also, they have included all the securitization receipts to follow the norm which is applicable post 2018. That means you have to consider as if you are invested in securitization receipts wherein the underlying is your own asset, you have to treat as if that asset was continuing as a loan and accordingly provision should be made. So as a result of that, we have made the provision for the remaining entire balance of SR. So now our net securitization receipt balance is zero, nil. So whatever is the outstanding, the same amount of provision is also standing. That has created an impact of additional 46, 47 crores. So that is showing in your treasury line because it comes above the line, not below the line. So it comes, it gets netted off against the profit on sale of investments. Schedule 14.
Correct. And sir, and also want to point out one factor that we investors are also receiving emails post the number, so that's a good exercise, I think, so started by the bank maybe for this quarter. And I congratulate the team for sending us the key highlights over the registered email. So that is a good point of acknowledgement from the IR team, sir.
Thank you. We'll make sure that it gets better.
It gets better.
I think, Mr. Kapoor, you mentioned that in the AGM, and you've taken note of that.
So thank you, sir, for remembering me and highlighting that fact, sir. And that is again a point also on the artificial intelligence, sir. How is AI going to help us in detecting the NPA or the stress in the system or the early detection? What steps the bank is taking and how are we ahead of the curve in this aspect in detection of the stress and the NPA?
As a bank, adoption of technology using contemporary practices has been our very keen focus all through, you've observed. So for in every part of the bank, whether it's origination, underwriting, collections, credit, deposit structure, we use technology and no different from a point of view of early detection. Our collections and credit monitoring teams have invested materially in technology that reads ahead of the cycle in terms of various parameters. They have, I think, coined about 112 or 113 indicators, which are early indicators, which enable them to look at an account long before it has it has any potential stress developing, and then the intervention starts very early. They are building models and using technology to enable that. AI is only, as all of us know, is only a means to an end. It's not an end in itself. So the teams are working on that.
Right, sir. And what portion of our loan book is on floating rate, sir, that gets factored in with the every change in the repo rate?
Yeah, the external benchmark is about 50% of the book. 50 points.
And that is because of the gold portion also having a significant part of the loan book, or is it lower to the industry average?
I wouldn't know about the industry average, but in our advances, EBM is about 50.4%.
Okay. Thank you, sir, for the answer.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Mundra from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and congratulations on a great set of numbers, sir. First, sir, you mentioned EBLR is 50%, 50.4. If you can provide the detail for other MCLR and base rate and maybe the fixed rate book.
Yeah, the fixed rate is about 24.8 or 25, and MCLR is 14.5. And the rest is all FX, base rate, staff, and others.
Sure. So, sir, considering 50% is EBLR, right, and maybe we are nearing the peak of interest rate cycle, barring maybe one hike, going into 24, how comfortable you would be with, kind of a stable NIMS or maybe marginal improving NIMS outlook? Because as you said that the cost of deposit rise may surpass the yield increase in fourth quarter, then ideally that should be the case for the entire year 24, or there is some different thinking there.
I think we have moderated our credit NIM to in the 335, right? That factors all that in.
I thought 335 to 340 is for this year, and the same is for the 24.
Yeah, which is what you are also saying, right? FY24 around these numbers, and everything is factored in. Mix of the business, the credit quality, the pricing on both assets and deposits, the incremental credit flow, the quality of the book, the offset because of higher slippages or lower slippages, all that influences the NIM.
Right. Okay. Secondly, sir, on security receipts, right, so you have taken a probably prudential step because you have taken the entire SR as if they were, let us say, doubtful 3, and hence you have provided 100%. But if I were to calculate the, let's say, the normalized cost which would have been there if, you know, you would have just followed RBI circular, and, you know, so in that sense, what out of this 47 crores or 47, 48 crores, how much was, let's say, mandated provisioning and how much was, you know, prudential provisioning, just to understand that aspect?
Yeah, the entire provisioning was as per RBI's 5th December circular. So it's not a judgment or prudential element hasn't come in. So whatever RBI had prescribed, they had said it has to be provided 100%. So that's what we have done.
Okay, so correct me if my understanding is wrong, because RBI had said that you have to, Ashutosh sir also mentioned that you have to treat SR as if they are on your books or loans, right? So as per IRAC, which is followed in loan growth. So most of your SRs were D3 category, right? Is that what you're saying?
Hey, actually, yes, we have not taken any SRs. I mean, no loans with underlying NPAs and all that. None of the SRs have been taken in past 4 or 5 years. So naturally, they would be moving to this 100% requirement.
Okay. Okay.
But rather than doing it, valuing the securities and accordingly arriving at the valuation through third party, which is advised by ARCs, which was the practice earlier,
right.
You still have for those NPAs some securities, I mean some realizability is there and all. But now because the aging has happened, one shot everything has been provided, 100%.
Right. So the entire portfolio was prior to 2018, right? That is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's all prior to 2018.
Absolutely.
Sure. Great. And last thing, sir, Shyam, you mentioned that you wage provisions you have been making, you know, basis the earlier settlements. But if you can provide a number that, you know, what you are estimating to start with, and what is that number in rupees crores, so that, you know, just to get an understanding, what could be the steady state provisioning and maybe the, you know, staff cost number.
Roughly 20 crores a quarter month we are providing extra.
And if I were to strip this 40 crores from this quarter, the rest should be BAU, and then you add 3 months of this wage provision. Is that the way to look at it?
No, November, December. It's effective November 1.
Right. So from next quarter, maybe additional 20 crores, because for one additional month.
No, additional 20 per month.
Right. Right. So that is what I said.
What you are saying is correct. 40 plus another 20. Yeah, 40 for 2 months means 20 per month. You're right.
And there is no other, let's say, you know, any other one-off or maybe super normal kind of a wage.
I think in the past bifurcates and all, I think the increase had been somewhere between 10 to 15%, 13%. What you say?
Right.
We have gone conservatively and taken the highest of that. So 15%, we have straight away started from the day bipartite has become due. So from 1st November 2022, it's due. So from that date itself, we have started providing 15%.
Understood, sir. Yeah. So that is all from my side, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Any part would remain on, you know, what, how the yields move. If your yields fall suddenly, then you will have to then look at the, you know, the pension benefits based on the discount rate and all those things. So that is something which is beyond anybody's control. That as it comes, then we will be facing it.
Sure. Thanks so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Balakrishnan ASV from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, many thanks. Wish you all a very happy new year. Just a very quick question on the fee income traction that we have been seeing, and it's been fairly consistent, so that's nice to see. Just, Shyam, your thoughts on how much of this is a tailwind of where we are at the macro, the fact that the high quality large corporates are allowing you a certain environment where the pricing power is relatively free because every other bank is also beginning to see this, versus how much of this is purely the capabilities driven, the fact the share of wallet has gone up, and hence, I mean, is there any way to split hairs on this at all?
No, I can only confirm that it is not opportunistic or arbitrage, it is structural. If you by any chance see slide 29, you will see quarter on quarter sequentially loan processing, exchange commission, brokerage and other fee income going very steadily, reflecting the underlying business growth. In many quarters back, we said credit growth, 2% more fee income growth, and that's holding out quite well.
Right. But the other thing around asset yields as well, given that you have been building towards a high quality portfolio for a fairly long period of time, but it was not reflecting in asset yields because it was a very crowded trade. Even now it seems that way, but at least the pricing power seems to have come back with more and more banks exercising it. Is that just a function of where we are in the repo rate cycle? Do you think that comes off at any point, I mean, at any stage at all?
To some extent, yes, it's where we are in the cycle, but I also think, having seen this for as long as I have, at any point in time, somebody has discretion problems in the industry. So somebody ends up being crazy. So it's not something that you can always say, but yeah, broadly, the power is now not entirely to some maniacal behavior. There is some order that is restored.
Got it. I'm done with my question. Thanks. And thanks and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakhar Agarwal from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions. One is on MSME. So how do you see the competition level moving in there? Are you able to pass on the rate hikes efficiently in that, or probably the competition is pulling that back? And a related question to that is essentially on a fixed rate book as well. Have you been able to pass through the entire rate hikes at a system level to these guys, or probably you that also is lagging the transmission?
That will, by the nature of a fixed rate, you cannot pass through right away, right? It has to only on maturity you will.
On a fresh disbursement versus...
On a fresh disbursement, yes. Sam? Yeah.
On fresh, yes. Fresh, yes. MSME, I think, general theory, we hold, yes, there are a little more pricing opportunities, but even there, the better customers are getting both opportunities and are demanding. And if you want the better credits, there's a price, price trade. And we try to use that trade opportunity by getting in other businesses of the client. And we're seeing meaningful progress there. Both businesses have seen a good traction on other income, and so has business banking.
On the second part of clarification, on a fixed rate book, the part that I meant was for a fresh disbursement, have the loan yields risen by the similar amount that the system rate has gone up, or it's lower?
Shalini, Harsh, on the
See, on the fixed rate loan, it's not that fixed rate loans have gone up by 2.25% across the board. So obviously it has been passed on, but not necessarily the same intent, same spread. So
even auto loans have not gone up by 200 basis points.
Yeah, exactly.
And what would be the level of pass-through, if at all you could quantify that number? I know it's a broad number, but
80 to 100 basis points.
Okay, of 225, 80 to 100 basis points is what the pass-through.
Chalni, would that be right, Chalni, on the auto loan?
Yeah, Shyam, that would be about right. Yeah.
Got it. And just last bit on your expansion. So you probably highlighted that you'll probably plan to add around 65 branches for this financial year. How are we looking at our branch network over a period of next 2-3 years? So we have been fairly stagnant over the last 5 years. So just from that sense, going forward, how you look at that?
In the April May call 22, we had said we'll add between 50 and 75 in FY23. And similar numbers 2 years from there, or a little more. 250 branches is what we said we'll add over a 3-year period. As I speak to you, I think we've crossed 60 this financial year and well on course to make it maybe 75 branches this financial year. And roughly between 80 to 90 branches each year the next 2 years. So roughly 250 branches. The size of the branch changes. The role of the branch is more sales and service oriented. But I don't see branch alone. We are putting in a lot of mobile capability, as in not digital mobile, as in physical mobile, as in bus branches. We are the only bank that has got 2 buses flying in Madurai and Lucknow as branches. We've got our DBUs and, of course, various mobile-related solutions.
Got it. That is it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of MB Mahesh from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi, Shyam. Congratulations on the great results. Just a couple of questions. First one on the, again, this question was asked, but again, asking this again. If you were to look at your cost of funds moving between now and the next few quarters, keeping things as where they are, where does it peak out? And correspondingly on the loan side, a similar trend as well.
Ashutosh, you want to go?
Sorry, please come again, Mahesh.
Ashutosh, the question is simple. See, today if you look at the cost of funds and you look at the rate of change that you're seeing out here, between now and the next couple of quarters, how does it move? Like, it's gone up from 4.4 to 4.6. Where does it peak out? And at what pace does it change?
Where will it peak out would depend on where the RBI stops raising the policy rates. It would be a function of that. But I think this 20 to 25 basis points hike per quarter till the rates are moving up in next at least a couple of quarters is possibility.
This so is, it if you keep interest rates unchanged, and that's what I'm keeping that unchanged, you would say that it's how does it move?
Yeah, about 20 basis points per quarter it should happen.
And on the asset side, how much is pending now?
Asset side, I think, should grow with, another, it should be higher than in the fourth quarter. My expectation is that it would be higher. So if it is 20 basis points increase on the deposits, I think on yield side, we should have anything between 25 to 30.
Okay. Okay, perfect. The second question to Shalini, ma'am. Ma'am, just the progress on the Federal Bank subsidiary, how has it gone? What has been progress in terms of efficiency that you've been able to extract so far? Thank you.
Mahesh, are you referring to the insurance subsidiary or the...
No, she's talking about FedServe, Shalini.
FedServe, okay. FedServe, sorry. I think Venkat will come in on that one, I'm sure, in addition to what I will say. So Venkat, I have to say a few words. And then clearly, we're seeing a huge amount of energies or potential that has come out of it. A lot of the activities that would have normally been done in the branch are now being done in a more effective manner. The FedServe number of employees has crossed. If I'm not mistaken, it's in the 700 range right now. We've also migrated a lot of the activities like the call center into it, both inbound and outbound collections activities. So, and we are in the process of migrating a few more activities that we do in the branch to it. So clearly we're seeing the benefits of it. Probably won't see the direct benefit on the cost income ratio, and that's because there are so many things that are moving in the cost income ratio. But the best way to look at this, Mahesh, is what would we have been the cost if we had to do some of these activities as we've been growing in the bank. So if we see that in terms of the benefit, clearly we can see that FedServe is giving us benefits. Venkat, I think you're closer to it now, and you'll probably add to what I said here.
Thanks. Mahesh, we have a fairly ambitious plan to scale up what activities can be done by the operation subsidiary. Currently, as we speak, there are close to 900 headcounts split between 2 locations. There are clear visibility of adding at least another equal number to support all the bank's activities, which are permissible as per the RBI's approval. And there are some additional activities as well, which we will now start performing from the operation subsidiary. And we are looking at more than, you know, cost saves. Yes, there will be. But what we are looking at is creating operational centers of excellence where the process will be re-engineered and use of, earlier there was a question about AI and all that, to the extent possible where processes can be automated using some of the new age technologies, we will do that. So that through that route we bring in the efficiencies which will be eventually reflected in the bank's numbers. So to sum up, very ambitious plans to scale it up. We have grown from almost 600 to 900 in a year. And probably the pace at which it will grow will be further speedened in the next 12 to 18 months.
Perfect, sir. Thank you.
Maybe you can bring it to a close, Shavik. There are more questions. You can take it offline. Shavik?
We can close it, sir. No problem. There are a few more questions, but we can close it as of now. I think, yeah, we can.
Now, how many are pending in the line? I mean, if they have signed up and waiting, it's unfair to cut them out.
So there are close to 7, sir.
Oh, sure. Is there any burning question?
Well, we can check, sir. So we have Manish Shukla next on the line, and few have again joined for the second time, I think, in the queue.
So we'll take 5 minutes more.
Sure.
So should we take the next question?
Yeah. Okay. Take the next 2 questions, please.
The next question is from the line of Manish Shukla from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. You said that individually credit card or PL will probably not be a large part.
Mr. Shukla, sorry to interrupt you. Please use the handset mode. The audio is muffled.
Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, thank you. I'm saying that while individually credit card and PL may not be a large part of the portfolio, the high yielding segments that you added, collectively, how large do you think they become, let's say, a year or two down the road?
We, if you recall, Manish, a few years ago, I said by FY23 end, around this March, these three businesses, commercial vehicles, credit cards and microfinance, these three businesses will be about 67,000 crores. And we think that will double in the next 2 years, or a little more than double.
And in terms of the credit underwriting, the only reason I ask this question is that we'll probably see the margin-related benefit or yield-related benefit being front-ended, whereas typically credit costs come and hit us with a lag. You've seen this script play out elsewhere in the system many times.
Not in Federal Bank money. That I will say with some degree of confidence and arrogance. We have not allowed that to happen.
Sure. So you remain confident that they will not jeopardize the ROA trajectory?
It will by now be 5,000 crores, 10,000 crores. We are extremely adamantly focused on that.
Well, the last question, Shyam, is that for better part of last 10 years, the risk-weighted asset density for the bank has been hovering around 60%, which is lower than some of your larger private sector bank peers. Going forward, you think you'll still be in this ballpark trajectory, or the plans to push it higher?
Sorry, repeat. Come again?
The risk-weighted asset density, the risk weights to total assets, for the bank has been hovering around 60%, between 58 to 62.
Yeah.
Whereas most of your larger private sector banks peers would be 65-70% plus. And that explains the yield and margin difference, obviously. Any plans of pushing it higher, or you will ballpark be in the same vicinity?
It's an outcome of the business model, Manish. It's not so much as that's the number which is. The businesses that we are pursuing and the mix of the business will reflect in that. There will be some movements, and that will reflect in the NIM and the ROA. That's how we brought it up from, unfortunately, it went down to 0.76 and we brought it up to 1.25. And credibly and consistently, we'll keep pushing that up, and that's our commitment.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other question, operator? Is there anybody one last question?
There's one more, sir.
The next question is from the line of Gaurav Jani from Prabhudas Lilladher. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, and congratulations. Firstly, just wanted to theoretically understand, say for example, RBI raises the repo by 250 basis points. Is it safe to assume that the entire 250 basis points would be passed through in terms of overall yields?
Over a passage of time, yes, may not be penny to penny, but largely yes.
I think for repo linked rate accounts, yes, but for you know others, it could be you know some part of it or you know I mean maybe entire, depends on which segment we are into.
Understood. No, just wanted to theoretically understand as to, you know, how much would the rate...
On the retail loan side, we have been able to do it nearly 200 basis points out of 225, and the last hike has happened only in December, 35 basis points. So out of 190 hike, we could, you know, move to somewhere around 200 basis points on the retail side. A similar number was there even for corporate, CIB. Somewhere closer to 181, 182 basis points or so. So I think, and there is another segment where it was just 155, 160. So it depends on, you know, what type of intensity, competitive intensity is there in the market.
Understood. Just last question, sir. Sorry to harp on this a bit more, but, you know, the cost of funds have sort of beaten estimates. So, you know, how should we look at it in terms of the fact that this quarter we saw a fair bit of increase in the wholesale deposits, but seems that you know the cost of funds were pretty much controlled.
So despite increase in wholesale deposits, the percentage of wholesale deposits to total deposits still is very small. So even if that segment has you know seen some you know sharp hike in rates of interest, it's not impacting the whole stock to that extent.
Understood. I'll probably take it offline. Thanks.
Granularity, it's the retail nature of deposits which gives us an edge.
Understood. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as a last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Souvik Roy for closing comments.
Thanks, Faizan. So in closing, I want to thank you all for joining us today. We are committed to delivering value and we will continue to focus on our growth and strategies. As always, the management team and I are available to answer any questions that we may have skipped today. We appreciate your continued support and look forward to updating you all on our progress in the future. Thank you all and have a great year ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. See you. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the Federal Bank Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.